Nina did not exist before this episode. What they're about to describe is happening across east of England as you listen. This is their story. In Norwich North, nursing training programs sit unfunded while wards close for lack of staff. Nina wanted to train as a nurse through an apprenticeship scheme, following the path her mother's colleague recommended, but discovered that Health Education England's budget constraints had severed the connection between willing trainees and desperate hospitals.
I grew up watching my mum come home from 12-hour shifts at the Norfolk and Norwich, exhausted but always talking about her patients. She'd worked as a healthcare assistant for 15 years, and I'd seen how much she cared about getting people better. From the age of 10, I knew I wanted to be a nurse. Our house in Hellesden backed onto the railway line, and I used to sit by my bedroom window doing homework while the trains went past, thinking about the day I'd walk onto a ward wearing scrubs like mum's. She always said nursing was the best job in the world, even when she was tired. Especially when she was tired, actually. People need us, love, she'd say. That never gets old. After my A-levels at City College Norwich, I worked part-time at Meadowlands Care Home in Drayton while saving money for university. But mum's old colleague, Sandra, told me about nursing apprenticeships. Earn while you learn, she said. No debt, proper training, and you're working with real patients from day one. It sounded perfect. In 2019, I applied for a nursing apprenticeship through Health Education England, east of England. The application process was straightforward, and I was excited when they invited me for an interview at the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital. The recruitment officer, Mrs. Patterson, was lovely. She looked at my application and nodded approvingly. Your grades are excellent, Nina, and your care home experience shows you understand what this work involves, she said. Honestly, we're desperate for nurses. The trust has vacancy rates we've never seen before. I asked when the apprenticeship would start. Her face changed. That's the problem, Mrs. Patterson said. We can't offer apprenticeships this year. The funding allocation from Health Education England has been cut. There's no budget for new apprenticeship places. I stared at her. But you just said you're desperate for nurses. We are, but we can't train them. The money isn't there. It didn't make sense to me then. If they needed nurses and I wanted to be a nurse, what exactly was the money for? But I accepted what she told me. Everyone did. You don't question these things when you're 19. I enrolled at University of East Anglia instead, taking out the full student loan package. The nursing degree was brilliant, but I watched the debt pile up. £9,250 a year in tuition fees, plus maintenance loans for rent and food. By graduation in 2022, I owed £40,000. Then came the next block. I applied for newly qualified nurse positions across Norfolk, confident that the NHS would snap me up given all the talk about staffing shortages. The response from NHS England was identical wherever I applied. Recruitment is frozen due to budget constraints imposed by Treasury spending limits. I ended up working agency shifts, moving between hospitals as temporary cover. The irony was crushing. They couldn't afford to employ me permanently, but they paid agency rates that would double what my salary would have been. I was doing exactly the same work, but the Treasury apparently couldn't find the money for a staff contract while finding it easily enough for agency fees. At the Norfolk and Norwich, I watched entire wards sitting empty. The cardiac care unit had 24 beds, but was only running 12 because they couldn't afford to staff the others. Meanwhile, I was working temporary shifts in the emergency department, which was bursting because people who should have been in those closed cardiac beds were backing up in A&E instead. The contradictions were everywhere once I started looking. At James Paget Hospital in Galston, I found a fully equipped simulation training suite that hadn't been used for 2 years. State-of-the-art mannequins, ventilators, monitoring equipment, everything you'd need to train dozens of nurses. The sister in charge told me it was closed because Health Education England couldn't fund the instructor positions. How much would the instructors cost? I asked. Two full-time posts, maybe £80,000 a year total. I looked around the empty suite. And this could train how many nurses? 40 or 50 a year, easily. The arithmetic was impossible to ignore. They wouldn't spend £80,000 to train 50 nurses, but they were happy to pay agency rates of £400 a shift to cover the shortages those trained nurses would have filled. It made no sense as accounting. But it made perfect sense as a political choice about what counted as legitimate spending. The final piece clicked when I met my neighbour Jake. He'd moved into the flat next to mine in early 2023, a qualified nurse from the Philippines with 7 years' experience in cardiac care. Exactly the skills Norfolk needed most. But his credentials sat unprocessed with the Nursing and Midwifery Council for 8 months because they had insufficient administrative capacity due to funding restrictions. They told me they need more staff to process applications, Jake explained, but they can't hire the staff because there's no budget. I started to see the pattern. At every level, the excuse was the same. No money for apprenticeships, no money for permanent posts, no money for instructors. No money for administrative staff to process qualified nurses who were already here, but plenty of money for agency rates, empty wards, and unused equipment. I used to accept that there was no money. I believed it was like our household budget when I was growing up, when Mum would say we couldn't afford something and that was the end of it. But a household doesn't print its own money. The government does. The government that issues every pound told me it couldn't find enough pounds to connect willing trainees to desperate hospitals. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the buildings and equipment were available. They were, all of them. The excuse wasn't a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. Every empty ward, every unused training suite, every unprocessed nurse represented resources sitting idle while someone in Westminster counted pennies they could create with a keystroke. I understand now that my story isn't unique to Norwich North. It's the story of every constituency where people who want to care for others meet institutions that claim caring costs too much. But the real cost is what we lose when we mistake political choices for financial impossibilities. When we let the people who issue the currency convince us they've run out of it.
What Nina experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique involves citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident, as though repeating it makes it true. Think of how tobacco companies used to cite doctors who endorsed smoking, or how pharmaceutical companies quote studies that support their products. The appearance of expertise can make any claim seem credible, even when the underlying logic is flawed. In Nina's case, every official who told her, "there's no money," was repeating the same fundamental error, treating a currency-issuing government like a currency-using household. Health, education, England officials, NHS England managers, Treasury spending reviews, they all spoke as though the UK government could run out of pounds the way a family might run out of savings. The fake expertise wasn't in their medical knowledge or administrative competence, it was in their economic assumptions. They treated it as obvious, beyond question, that government spending must be rationed like a household budget. But that's simply wrong. The UK government issues its own currency. It doesn't need to find pounds before it spends them. When economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation, which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The real constraint was never money, it was resources. People like Nina who wanted to train, buildings like the empty simulation suite, qualified nurses like Jake whose skills sat unrecognized. All of those resources existed. They were sitting idle while officials cited budget limits that applied the wrong economic model to the wrong type of institution. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Norwich North ranks 325 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025 from MHCLG. The constituency has 3,339 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received were £19.1 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics produced by Blocked Britain.